Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. We find ourselves on 19a, that's Daf Yud Tet Amud Aleph, and we are about halfway down. So from the end of the skinny lines, if you count up 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines, that's where we're at the very end of the line. And we have two diamond dots here. A phrase encircled by two sets of two diamond dots, which is going back to the Mishnah. As we learned in our Mishnah, in our previous recording, there were three opinions about where you had to start the Megillah from in order to be Yotzei. That might be surprising to you. It's surprising to me in some ways. But we had three opinions. Rabbi Meir said you have to start the Megillah at the beginning and read the whole thing. Rabbi Yehuda said, if you skip the first chapter of the Megillah, you can still be Yotzei, you can still fulfill your obligation, but you have to start from Ish Yehudi, the introduction of Mordechai. And Rabbi Yossi said, you can skip the first two chapters, as long as you start from Achar HaDvarim HaEla, which is when Haman is introduced, and you start from the beginning of chapter 3, that you can fulfill your obligation. Now we're going to bring one addition, fourth opinion, a final opinion. Tanya, we learned in a Braita, Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Omer, Mimalai Lahahu. According to Rashbi, even if you skip the first five chapters of the Megillah and you only started at the sixth chapter, which is the night when Ahasuerosh could not sleep, you could still be Yotzei the Megillah even if you really only read the second half, which is shocking in a way. But that's his opinion. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, V'kulan, all of these four opinions, whether you start from the beginning, from chapter 2, from chapter 3, or from chapter 6, mikra echad darshu, each one of them was darshning, or was deriving their opinion, from the same verse. And this verse in the Megillah reads as follows, Vatichtov Esther Hamalka, it's in the 9th chapter, and Esther the queen wrote, Mordechai Yehudi, and Mordechai the Jew, et kol tokef, the whole power, a kol tokef, that's the word that's important there is the word tokef, which means the power or force. Okay, so so something about what they were writing was about power or force. So he's going to explain that there are different potential powers that are required by the original writing of the Megillah, which power or whose power is it that needs to be read. Man de Amar Kula, the one who says that you have to read the whole Megillah, that's Rabbi Meir, Tokfo Shel Achashverosh. He says the Tokef that they want you to know about was the power of Achashverosh. And Achashverosh's power is on display at the very beginning of the Megillah when he throws the party. And of course, it lasts all the way to the end. At the very end, we see that Achashverosh remains the king and, in fact, is levying taxes on all of his lands. Okay? Uman de Amar Me'ish Yehudi. And the one who says that you have to, that you can minimally start reading at the second chapter, which is the introduction of Mordechai, Tokvel Shel Mordechai, says that the power that you needs to be invoked in the reading of the Megillah is the power of Mordechai. So we start from when he begins. Uman da Amar Me'achar HaDvarim Ha'ela, and the one who says that you don't have to start till the third chapter, Tokvo Shel Haman. That is the power of Haman. It is really that we want to read about how powerful Haman was in trying to destroy the Jewish people. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Uman da Amar Mi Balai Lahu. And finally, the one who says you don't have to start until the sixth night, which is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Tokvo Shel Nes. That is the power of the miracle. Now, I think that really it should have read there, Tokvo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the power of Hashem. But I don't think that it wanted to put Hashem next to Haman and Ahasuerosh, so they wrote the power of the miracle instead. So that's the first way of understanding it. The question is, who is, in a way, you're asking the question, who is the real protagonist of the Megillah? Is the real protagonist Ahasuerosh? Is it Haman? Is it Mordechai? Or is it Hashem? The second opinion goes like this. Rav Huna Amar Mehacha. Rav Huna says we can derive it from here. There's a verse that says, talking about Esther and Mordechai writing the Megillah, Uma Ra'u Al-Kacha, Uma Higia Alehem. There's three parts to this. Uma Ra'u, what did they see that they did, that they felt they needed to act? Al-Kacha, on this, this is the thing. Uma Higia Alehem, and what happened to them? What was the result? So we have three items here that we need to identify. What was seen, what was done, and what happened. Man de Amar Kula, the one who says, Rabbi Meir, who says you have to read the whole Megillah, Mara'a, what was seen, Achashverosh, we're talking about. What did Achashverosh see? Achashverosh, Shenishtamesh Bekelim Shel Beit HaMikdash. He saw something which led him to conclude that he could use the vessels of the temple. As we saw earlier on Daf Yud or Yud Aleph, that Achashverosh thought that he would be he would escape the punishment of the previous guys, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, who also tried to use the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash and were killed for it. Achashverosh thought he would get away with it. So what did he see that led him to think he could get away with it? Al-Kacha, on this. What's this? Mishum de Chashiv Shivim Shnin. He figured out the 70 years that were supposed to be of the exile. Velo Ifruk, and they had not been redeemed. So as we saw again on Daf Yud or Yud Aleph, that he counted the 70 years and he thought he counted correctly. And when he saw the Jews hadn't been redeemed at the end of 70 years, he figured it was safe to use the vessels. Umahi Gia Alehem. And what happened? The Katil Vashti. Vashti got killed. So really, Achashverosh should have been killed, but for one reason or another, as we explained earlier in the Gemara, Vashti was the one that got killed instead, but she got killed because of Achashverosh's choice to use the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash. That's one. I'm on the first wide line, four lines from the end of the line. Uman de Amar, that's the abbreviation. We've seen it actually a whole bunch of times here. Uman de Amar, the one who says, Me Ish Yehudi, Rabbi Yehuda, who says you only have to start from chapter 2 when Mordechai is introduced. Ma ra'a, what was seen? Mordechai. What did Mordechai see? De Ikni behaman, that he made Haman become jealous of him. Al-Kacha, it was this. What's this? Deshave nafshi avodah zarah, that Haman was making himself into an object of idolatry. And this maybe is the clearest source that when people were bowing down to Haman, that he meant for them to treat him as if he was a god, or that he had an idol on him, that he wanted people to bow down to idolatry. Umahi gia alehem, and what happened to Haman? Or what happened to Mordechai? Sorry, what happened to Mordechai who provoked Haman? Titrachesh Nisa, a miracle happened so that Haman was unable to harm him. So you begin reading from Mordechai because it was Mordechai who saw that he needed to provoke Haman, and then he was saved by the miracle. Uman da amar me'achar hadvarim ha'ela, and the one who says that you don't have to start till the third chapter, when Haman is introduced, ma'ra'a, what was seen? Haman, it was what Haman saw. What did Haman see? Shenit kanei b'chol ha'yudim, that Haman saw something that made him jealous of the Jewish people. Al-kacha, it was this. What was it? Mishum de Mordechai lo yichra ve'lo yishtacha, that Mordechai didn't bow down to him. It was because Mordechai didn't bow down to him that he became upset and envious of the Jewish people. Umahi gia alehem, and what happened to him? V'talu oto v'etbanav ala'etz. He and all of his sons, or 10 of his sons, were hung up on a tree, on a gallows. Finally, umanda amar mi balayla hahu, and the one who says that you only have to start in the 6th chapter from when Achashverosh couldn't sleep, mara'a, what was seen? Achashverosh. It was Achashverosh that saw something. He saw something that made him want to lehavi et sefer zichronot, to bring the Book of Chronicles to be read to him. What did he see? Al-kacha, it was this. What? Dizaminte Esther lahaman bahadei. It was the fact that Esther had invited Haman to both the special parties, whereas it should have just been Esther and Achashverosh, the king and the queen, but Esther very shrewdly invited Haman, and that aroused Achashverosh's paranoia and his skepticism, and he wanted to read in the Book of Chronicles to see if perhaps someone was plotting against him because he had not honored them for doing him a favor. Umahi gia alehem, and what happened? Titrachesh nisa, a miracle happened. The miracle happened that he wasn't able to sleep, and that he discovered, or it seems like the miracle here is that he discovered that Mordechai had done him a favor and he had never repaid him, and so he decided to repay Mordechai at the expense of Haman. Okay, we're going to go just a few more. So I think these are both very, very interesting explanations of these four halachic opinions, and we could talk about them at another time. However, we have to get the halacha, which I think will not surprise you. Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav. In the name of Rav, they say halacha kidivrei haomer kula. The halacha is like Rabbi Meir that you have to read the whole Megillah, which is how we paskin. Vafilo lamanda Amar Meish Yehudi. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said you don't have to read the first chapter, tzricha shetehei ktuba. Kula, the Megillah has to be completely written. So even though Rabbi Huda and presumably the other opinions as well, Rabbi Yossi and Rashbi, even though they say you don't have to read the whole thing, you still have to read from a completely written Megillah. If the Megillah is incomplete, then it's no good. Of course, as we've seen, as the halacha is, that a Megillah doesn't have to be 100% complete. It can be missing words or even verses, as long as the majority of it is written down. However, based on this Gemara, what we understand is that if the very beginning or also the very ending is missing, then it is not a kosher Megillah. But if it's missing words or verses in the middle, it can still be considered kosher. For Amar Rabbi Chelbo, and Rabbi Chelbo said, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guya Amar Rav, in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guya and in the name of Rav, Megillah Nikrate Sefer, Vinikrate Geret. Sometimes the Megillah is called a Sefer, as we saw, a book, which really means a scroll. And sometimes it's called an Igeret, which means a letter. Now, our understanding is that a Sefer has higher standards, more like a Sefer Torah, whereas an Igeret has lower standards. It's not quite at that level. Nikrate Sefer, so it's called a Sefer, a book, She'im Tifra B'chute Pishtan Psula, that if the parchment sections of the Megillah are sewn together with linen threads, which is not allowed in Torah scroll when you stitch the pieces of parchment together. So too, in the case of a Megillah, if linen threads are used to stitch them together, it's pasul. The Nikrate Igeret, and it's called an Igeret, she'im hitil ba shlosha chute gidin kshera, that if you use only three stitches of sinew to stitch them together, it's kosher. Usually in a Torah scroll, you have to use, I think it's nine at once. You have to use three sets of three in order to stitch it together. But in a Megillah, which is only an Igeret, it doesn't have quite as stringent a standard. Amar Rav Nachman modulates this slightly, ubilvad she'yuhu mishulashin, as long as they are in triplicate. The way Rashi explains it is they should be evenly spaced, meaning you should have one stitch on top, one stitch in the middle, one stitch on the bottom, so that it will be held together, but you don't have to have three stitches in each location. Okay, we're three lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Tet Amud Aleph. We'll stop here. Have a wonderful day.